Hi everyone, it's Michelle. This is our third call in the Letting Go series. It is April the 16th, 2020. We'll begin, as always, in Shavasana. So set yourself up for Shavasana. Find a place where you can have the most quiet possible, where you will not be interrupted. And if you're in a place where you're going to be interrupted or there's people flowing by, well, let go of the need for it to be different and go with what you have. Just know that it's perfect for today, just the way it is. Have props beside you always that may be helpful to you. So a place where you can lie down with some blankets or pillows, or a place to put your legs as needed so you can find comfort. Lie on your back, support your head and neck. Make sure the support does not go beneath the shoulders. So it touches the shoulders, but does not go beneath. When you do it in this way, the Shavasana goes deeper and it goes, you know, we go into that space of Shavasana faster. Bend your knees, make space through the low back, and then extend the legs out. Have the legs a comfortable distance apart. And let the legs rotate outwards so that the baby toes fall to the floor. Take the arms, bend the elbows, and press the elbows into the floor. Lift and open the chest any amount so the shoulder blades draw into the back. Bottom tips of the shoulder blades draw into the back. Lift and open the heart center and release the shoulders down. Then release the arms down and notice if in opening the chest, have you disturbed the support beneath the head? So there might be a little space now between the shoulders and that support beneath the head. Take the time to adjust. So be particular about how you take care of yourself in Shavasana. If how you do anything is how you do everything, the way that you're setting up your body in Shavasana mirrors and mimics what's happening in your company, in your personal life, in your family, in the way you run all parts of your life. Are you taking the time to take care? It's a really important theme for today. So the support beneath the head, touching the shoulders. Notice if the chin is still lifting. So adjust the back of the neck, make space through and length through the back of the neck so that the chin is at least level with or lower than the forehead. That allows the mind to become quiet. These things we can do in a world that these days may often feel out of control. These are some things that we have control over. I can place my body on the center line. I can take supports beneath me so that my body is comfortable. I can find an easy position where my mind can more quickly become quiet. And then one thing I don't have control over, not immediately anyway, is the thoughts running through my mind. That's okay. We're not trying to suppress the thoughts. We're not trying to stamp them down or stamp them out. It's not like that. What we're just, it's a, Shavasana is a process of awareness. Can I notice what's actually there without judging it? Seeing either tension in my body or thoughts in my mind, not judging the experience, not judging this moment, but just becoming more minutely aware of what is so that I can make a conscious choice so that I can change. I mean, I can just pick a course of direction that serves and supports me. That's only just a minor function of Shavasana, but it's a really, really important one for our daily lives. I can make a different choice when I can see what's happening. So take this time with your eyes closed, if you haven't yet closed them, close the eyes and just become aware of sensations in the body. So maybe there's spaciousness in some places. Maybe there's a desire to move. Maybe there's tension. Just notice the different sensations in the body right now without judgment. Just see what is. Yeah. Maybe there's tension in the jaw. That's a common place to hold tension. Maybe the shoulders or the back of the neck is tight. Maybe there's spaciousness in the heart center. Just see what is. Be curious about this moment, your body here and now. Become aware. Then any place that there's tension or a lack of ease, tightness, something that doesn't feel right, find the first spot like that that your consciousness lands on. What do you notice that doesn't feel right? Maybe you notice your head is crooked. Maybe you notice that the legs are not resting evenly. Maybe it's about centeredness. Maybe there's tension in the stomach that you didn't even know you were holding. Notice what is, no judgment. And then gently with the breath, find more spaciousness there. Not by forcing it, not by needing it to happen, not by making it go away, but just through breathing there, to see if there's release that happens without needing it to happen. Just notice the effect of sending the breath to that place. Your jaw, your throat, shoulders. Maybe it's the back of your scalp. Where is it for you? Send breath there. And as that space releases, or doesn't, and that's okay too, as that spot releases, finding more ease there, notice a second place where you might not have even noticed the tension. It was hiding behind that first place. For me today, it was the jaw. Let go of the jaw. Where's that next place where you're holding tension? For me, it's in my recovering ankle. It's getting much better, but there's still tension there. Where is it for you? Send breath to that second spot and allow the tension or dis-ease to release just by focusing attention there. Now, allow there to be just a slight smile, just at the corners of your lips. Just a tiny upturn of the lips. This actually has a corresponding response in our emotions, in how we feel. Even if it doesn't feel real right now, play with it. See how this changes. How you're feeling in the moment. Just become aware without judgment. Just a slight upturn the corners of the mouth. Relax the tongue. Let the teeth be slightly parted. Jaw relaxed. Lips barely touching. Slight smile just at the edge of the lips, corners of the lips. Now let the whole body release and relax with the exhalation. Let the face soften so it's smooth like butter. Let the eyes sink back toward the back brain. And watch the breath. Let there be no effort with the breath. Just let the breath move through you as though you're being breathed by the universe. No effort. Ease. Let each breath take you deeper and deeper into silence, into a deep and abiding sense of well-being. Know that in this breath, in this moment, all is well. This moment, you're breathing. This moment is fine. In this moment, know your own well-being. All is well. And allow the breath to deepen. Place your hands on the torso. Feel the breath. Bend your knees. Slowly roll to your right side or left when that's right for you. It's okay. Breathe here. Softly open your eyes and keeping your gaze toward the floor, use your hands to press yourself up to sitting, returning to our virtual circle. Camera on whenever possible, because it's training right in the cells of our being and in our practices to just pay attention to one thing at a time. Multitasking is a misnomer. We can't actually multitask. They know that our brain code switches A1, B2, C3, and it's tiring. So when we practice just being in one place, letting go of whatever's on our phone, whatever's on the other pages of our computer, whatever else is happening in our lives, just as we do in Shavasana, practicing that one-pointed attention, we do that again here, one-pointed attention. There will be things in this call that hopefully you love. There might be things where you find your mind drifting. There might be things that feel more relevant to you, less relevant to you. When we train our focus, no matter what, then we can do so out there in the world. Surely, when you're in a strategies with something, session with somebody, there's going to be times when you're more alert or less alert, more engaged or less engaged. And we practice that focused attention right here, right now. Hopefully, there's more to grab your attention. Hopefully, there'll be many things that serve and support you here. But in training that focused attention together with a community that does that on purpose, that intentionality has a ripple effect far beyond what we consciously know for our companies, for our lives, for our world. So let's begin today our piece after Shavasana. As we do, there might be 99 things I don't like and how perfect for our world right now. But I'm not even looking there. It's not where my focus is right now. It's not that I can't look there. I'm not afraid to look there. That's fine. But where my practiced attention is on this that I love, and what I focus on expands. What did you love in the practice of Shavasana for you today? Who would like to begin? Oh, same time. I'm just going to go in alphabetical order and from top to bottom on my screen. That makes Steve go first. I was looking at last names. So like Steve. And then Carly will be next.
I really needed that. I've been running pretty hard for the past couple of weeks. Very, very busy making a transformation in my business, which is really going well, but making sure that I spend enough time in the middle of the day just breathing.
Yeah, really good. Love it. And so glad this served you, Steve. So important, and especially when we're in service on this planet, sometimes that means there's waves of doing. There's, you know, much doing that happens sometimes, right? The more we're doing that, the more that stopping and breathing is more and more and more important. So thank you for underlining that. I'm so glad this served you. And actually, so interesting that it was Steve and Carly put up their hands first, because Steve, I haven't seen everything. It just happened to cross my screen. I haven't looked into Love Your Words Facebook page in a little while. Nobody has tagged and texted me, but I will get back in there. And especially when you tag and text me, I'm there like as soon as I can be. I'll be there most likely sometime that day, sometimes almost right away. But I haven't been in there in a while, but I happen to see, scroll past me. So I was looking on Facebook for something else. Steve, your win. And so I love to do both Shavasana and then win, because then we're going to go to Carly, who also has a win, right? So Steve, will you share what I saw scroll past me? I was like, so freaking awesome. And so great to hear some of the beautiful things that are rolling in this community.
Yeah. So for those of you who haven't, you know, noticed in the Facebook group, I have landed one high ticket, very high ticket client. Probably the highest ticket that I will ever, you know, that I have had to date.
Yes. Thank you for fixing those words right now that I've had to date. That's so far freaking awesome. Yes.
And another one who has said, yes, we're having another meeting this afternoon. He hasn't actually signed yet. But actually, if things work the way I think they will, might even be bigger. So it's the new piece of my business is just going to explode. I've got a partner in this who's going to be a tremendous asset to what I do. He's a 25-year venture capitalist, a Vistage chair, and also the founder and chief purpose officer of the Gratitude Network, which is the nonprofit where I'm on the board. So he and I have been friends for 20 years, and now we're going to do some business together and forming a new corporation.
Steve, so, fantastic.
Things are just going absolutely spectacularly well.
So fantastic. So happy for you. And thank you for that, you know, tangible, concrete proof for each one of us that remember the teaching that I shared with you on our first, you know, COVID-19 call, which feels like 100 years ago, which was just a couple of weeks ago. And I think that's where I tie it. It's like the world economy is not my economy. The local economy is not my economy. And that this is like so many people more than ever need and want our services. So this can be the best of times for our businesses when we realize it comes from the service. It comes from helping people right where they are, making a difference in people's lives. So Steve, freaking awesome. Thank you both for Shavasana and for what you loved in that, and then for that beautiful, beautiful win. I love it. So I want to go over to Carly with both of these pieces and then open up to other wins from the community if anybody else also wants to share. Just so happened it was Steve and Carly. I know about both of you from different reasons. So Carly, what did you love? So thank you, Steve. Beautiful. Carly, what did you love first in your Shavasana today?
Well, I've been suffering from a migraine the last like day, and for the first time after Shavasana, I feel it like receding. I'm still kind of struggling with it, but it's like kind of, I don't know, it's sort of like this release just happened. And that's amazing.
Just hear that, that what happens, that it is such a powerful practice, a deceptively simple, powerful practice. And one of the reasons we start with it is to do it, to do it, but also to encourage you to hear more and more of the benefits of it, so that I'm hoping each one of you will be led to that daily practice, roll out of bed, do that, roll out of bed, do that. It is super powerful. You could chase after so many doctors for a long, long time, and I'm not promising that. Oh, I have a migraine every time Shavasana's going to, I can't promise that. But the physical benefits of this one piece of the Iyengar yoga practice, it's phenomenal. So great to hear that, Carly. Thank you so much. In a few minutes, I mean, what kind of pill does that, right? And again, it's like, it's not all gone yet. It's not perfect, but allowing for that's okay. It's going in the right direction. And that's pretty amazing for a couple of minutes of stopping. Thank you, Carly. Love that. And I asked you about this before. So the win, and are you okay if we shared what we talked about the other day? Okay, so I would love to celebrate, and we haven't done this in a while, but and sometimes people are going like, oh, no, just don't go there, you know, so we haven't done that, but with some people, but with Carly, thank you for the permission. And so Carly, and will you celebrate Carly together with me, together as a community, because Carly just took the leap and entered into her second year, and I'm so happy for you, Carly. I'm so proud of you. So like, yay!
Excited.
Yeah, freaking awesome. And just as we all want to be in on that, like, what does it feel like to leap? Because we want ourselves to be leaping into that next adventure, whatever it is, like the next level of our company, the next level of service, as Steve is talking about, and for our clients and potential clients to be leaping in to their next level self through our work, whatever it is that you do. Carly, you know, talk to us a little bit about it. Like, what is it inside you that went, yes, because let's all have a piece of that yes energy, like to get it vicariously through you for all of our endeavors out there in the world. What is it that allowed you to find that yes inside of you? What, just talk to us about that.
Well, just in this last year, I've noticed so many different things that I think were kind of like in the background of my mind that actually were in more of a driver's seat in my business than I had realized. There's so much light that has been shed on different things, and I feel like it's kind of just the beginning of us working together. And, you know, I'm a big believer in continuing education and continual growth. And, you know, I thought, oh, well, should I go back and get my MBA or something like that? I'm like, no, that's not the direction I need. I feel like this is really helping me to grow my business in a very personal way and authentic way. And so everything I'm learning here has been amazing. So I wanted to do a second year.
Carly, freaking awesome. And I love what you said about things in the background that I didn't even notice. It's so important. It's like there's those disempowering stories that we don't even know are happening that are actually running the business, so we can find all the systems, all the structures, do everything right. It's like, why is it still not working or working at the level that it could be? And sometimes just unplug one of those threads with a ripple effect that's super profound. So love that. Thank you so much. Thank you for letting us feel that yes energy in you. And so that we can all have a little piece of that for ourselves, for the people in our lives, and thereby, you know, with the ripple effect for the world. Thank you, Carly. Love it. Love it. Love it. All right, let's open it up to others. Anyone else either with, let's do both. We've never done it both at the same time. It's always different, right? Always something a little, always a new iteration. Either something in your Shavasana or a win that you'd like to share. Who else would like to share? Could be either. Yes, Dottie. I knew there was more energy out there. And Dottie, you were just like, yes, it's me.
Well, I wanted to share with you all that I think I might have started with this niche, changed the niche, and now I'm back to that niche. And I'm really excited about it. I'm 75, and I've had some mini strokes and some very scary things in my life recently in the last 8 years since I moved to California, and health-wise. And it's really helped me to really seek God more. And so I originally was going to teach sales training for Christian women because I love talking about God and I love praying before and I love praying that, you know, for our attitudes to be more Christ-like. So I'm back to my niche now is, and it's just women. It's Christian sales training for Christian women.
Lottie, I am so happy for you. This is so awesome. Thank you for sharing this. And you know, there's a lightness about you today that I see. I don't know how you're feeling particularly today, but I don't know if you guys see it too. It's really beautiful. There's so many nods happening around the room. Like just there's something that's aligned in you. And sometimes like who we're meant to be serving and what our highest service is, it's so close to us that we can't see it. And so this is a perfect community to be able to see ourselves at a deeper level and see what's so close that we often can't see it. And that was true for me too. So this company called Story Freedom, I didn't land on story right away. And then it was a number of years ago now, but I'm like, oh wait, that's what I did my PhD in. Maybe that's what I should be teaching. Well, I couldn't see it. This is right here. And when we come to that thing, it's like, it's often this, it feels like, oh wait, of course. How come I didn't see it before? And sometimes it takes iteration. I started there, I go somewhere else. And then when you come back to it, Dottie, I love that. There's a deeper certainty. There's a deeper knowingness. And for a devoutly Christian woman who is, I don't mean Dottie, I mean somebody else out there in the world who wants to understand about sales, and that's such an important aspect of her life. And here's a generic sales training, and here's one that's specially designed for Christian women who have prayer and God at the center of their life. And like, who do we want to choose? It's like the chiropractors. Here's a chiropractor who just tends to everybody, and I've got something really going on, let's say, with my back. And this chiropractor does everybody, including backs. And this chiropractor has only been working with backs for 20 years. Who do you want to go to? Right? So, Dottie, that's fantastic news. Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing this. This is lovely. And so good for all of us, too. Like, what's that thing right in front of me? And that's a great thing to be on a connection call with somebody in this community. And it might be somebody that you know or have gotten to know really well in this community. It might be somebody that you don't know very well. Because sometimes they're the ones that will see something. They've heard you here. They don't have maybe they've seen you here. They don't have as many preconceived ideas. You don't meet every week or whatever it is. And they'll just see it right away. So great thing to be on a connection call with. It's like, what's my gift? And you start talking and they'll see it. Yeah, Dottie, go ahead.
What I wanted to share with you all is that I wanted to share this gift with you because the gift is because I'm older, I'm not going to live, 20 more years. Probably. And
well, let's not say that. Don't bring that into. I understand what you're saying.
I'm not that far behind you, Dottie, and I expect to go at least 30.
So. Thank you for that, Steve. Thank you. So let's just like rework that little part of your sentence. It's like, I have fewer years ahead of me probably than, Dana's and Michelle's 20-year-old daughter. Fine.
Gift I wanted to give you was that because of being older, I'm like, what do I want to spend the rest of my life doing? And so it's not just surviving. It's not that it wouldn't have been fun to teach anybody and everybody sales. I love doing it. My first class was men and women and not Christian. But it's just more exciting when you think, well, this is my last shot. What do I really want to do?
Dottie, I love that. And what you're saying, 75 is a very magical year. So I want to talk about age 60 for a minute, because when one of my, so thank you for that. When one of my teachers, Shirley French, she's one of my yoga teachers, when she turned 60, she knew BKS Iyengar very personally. So I'm an Iyengar yoga teacher. They had a very close relationship. She did some of the translations in French for some of his books, et cetera, et cetera. And she'd studied with him for some 30 years. And so when she turned 60, many years ago now, she sent him a letter and saying, I finally reached that third stage of life in you know, in according to the yogis, in the first stage, you know, where we're learning things, and then we're kind of, and then the next stage, the 20-year increments, you know, 20, and then 20 to 40, we're a householder and we're doing stuff. And then at age 60, what happens is that we pass on our legacy, and that's when the work really starts, to pass on what it is that we know, and to really be the passing on, you know, wisdom to the community and to the world. And he wrote her back and said, I'm sorry, you've got the numbers wrong, because that actually starts at age 75. So it's like 25, 50, 75. So now your work on this planet actually begins. That was his point of view. And, you know, he died at 95. And in his 90s, he was touring the world and touring China and writing his next book and giving yoga classes to, you know, so many people. So what is it to have a different sense of service, different sense of legacy, different sense of why we're even here on this planet? So Dottie, thank you for that beautiful, beautiful, those beautiful words that remind us about, you know, what is my mission? What am I meant to be doing? How can I serve on this planet? So thank you so much. Love it. All right. Anything else bursting to be said, without which we can't go forward? Notice that's a different kind of call. And Mary Kay, that was right away. So yes, go ahead.
From the Shavasana, there is a very powerful feeling in my hands that's still very much there. And it's tingling and connecting, and it's pretty cool. And I'm watching myself asking, what does it mean? What is it? And then I go back to just experiencing it. And I don't really know what to do with it, really.
I love this, Mary Kay. And sometimes what we do with it is like, that's nice. I love that. It's good. You know, like sometimes we want to, we strive to make meaning out of things. And sometimes it's just like, well, that's cool, you know, and that's very much in the yoga tradition too. The yogis say that, you know, in the third chapter or pada in the Yoga Sutras, we're going to be talking a little bit about the Yoga Sutras today. The yogis say that, and you can take this either as, for some people, it's like genuine fact and real. And for some people, this is kind of mythical stories. I don't care how you take it, but there's a really cool, really cool teachings in the third chapter. What they say is, when we're on the yogic journey and we go inward and we, you know, start to align ourselves, special powers come to the yogi. So there's all kinds of, you know, beautiful stories in the third chapter about, you know, walking through walls and levitating and all this kind of stuff, right? Written, you know, 2000 years ago. And again, you can take it as, some people on the planet could take it as literal. Some people may take it as, well, this is a nice story about that we are more powerful than we think. It doesn't matter how you take it. But one of the things that the yogis say is that these special powers, yeah, it's nice. Take it as like you're on track, and then forget it and just go back to Shavasana and just go back to the practice, because they can be a distraction, because we can want to hang on to it. Raga, attachment. It's like, wow, that special thing happened, you know, in Shavasana. Like I got deeper than ever before. And I, you know, and we start to hang on to it. We start to try to replicate it. And all of a sudden we're caught in the kleshas. All of a sudden we're caught in one of the things that makes us suffer. So that might be one of those things. This is like, oh, my hands are tingling. Cool. And I go back to practicing. That's one way to look at that. And one more thing about, I want to say, so thanks so much for sharing that, Mary Kay. One more thing I want to say about that. One practice that I don't do that often, I haven't shared with you here, but it's another form of meditation. And it's one that I first started practicing when I was in my yoga teacher training. One of our trainers taught us this form of meditation, and it's called inner body meditation. Again, I've been taught so many practices. I give you Shavasana. It's the best of the best, right? But an inner body meditation actually starts from feeling the sensation. And sometimes we start in the palms, because that's one of the places that people can feel it the most. Sometimes we start with the lips to feel that tingling sensation. So the meditation actually starts with that. Most of the time, we're not paying attention to ourself as a body. We don't even feel what it's like to be in a body. We're running around like talking heads a lot. We don't even know we're breathing. You get what I'm saying? And this form of meditation starts from the fact that, like, even right now, because I'm speaking about it, and I have practiced this form of meditation, I did it quite a bit for at least several years. I've done many, many different practices, right? Because I'm practiced at it, in this moment, I can feel it in my right hand because I'm talking about it. I can feel my right hand tingling, right? And it's a way to understand and actually feel and get in touch with our own aliveness. So it is another form of meditation. And so you have kind of stumbled across it, and maybe you've done so many other times before, but in your practice of Shavasana, in that practice of awareness, you've noticed that, that we have access to all the time, but usually we don't because we're running around too much. So I love it. And I think the best thing that what I would do with that is just notice it and go, wow, that's really cool. And then keep on doing the practice. Thank you, Mary Kay. Love it. All right. Anything else? And again, I've been given so many different practices. I only give you the best of the best. If I carried on with every practice I've been given probably hundreds at least. It would take all day. You can't do them all. I give you the very best of the very best that changes everything. That's Shavasana start there. All right. Anything else bursting to be said without which we can't go forward? Lots of great things that you've shared today. It's beautiful. Thank you. All right. So I want to start with, Mary Kay has posted a number of great questions. Mary Kay, you are our poster child for questions. Thank you so much for that. And again, I just want to encourage you to keep posting questions. And if you haven't posted a question yet, maybe this is your time. If you post questions, but rarely, maybe this is your time. If you post questions all the time, maybe this is your time. Just keep posting questions, right? And remember how we did it on that one call quite a while ago now. I had you get together with each other and come up with a question that you'll either post on Facebook, talk to in a connection call, meet with Marie about, meet in your small group if you have one, or in a private session with me if you're doing those, and or post them for our call. So keep posting questions. Those questions allow this work to be very personalized to you. And then also, if you're not posting questions, that's okay too. Just know that there are answers that are being presented to you to questions you might not even know you're asking yet, and somebody else has posted that for you. So that's all perfect and all good, right? So let me see. I want to talk about... Yeah, actually, I'm going to go to all three of the questions because we were talking about raga and Devasia last time for the Letting Go series. Those are the first two places in the Letting Go series. Raga, attachment, Devasia, pushing away. And I asked you, by the way, I just want to see by a show of hands, I said, like, notice these this week because they're happening all the time. And especially in a COVID-19 world, it's like accelerated, exponential. I hate this, I love this, I hate this, I love this. You know, not love, but hanging on to. How many of you, did you notice that this week, this pull of raga and devasia even once? Did you remember to do that? If you didn't, let it go, it's okay. But if you were noticing it all this week, raise your hand. I just want to see how many of you retained that consciousness. A number of you, okay. How many of you forgot that exercise and just went on with your life, and that's okay too? Hands up, be proud. Yes, thank you. How many of you did not know that that was an exercise that I gave? Hands up, be proud. Thank you. How many would not put up their hand no matter what I said? Put your hand up. You're not putting your hand up. Now I'm blushing. All right. So raga, devasia, hanging on, pushing away. And so Mary Kay's first question is, what are some clues that would tell you that devasia is masquerading as letting go? How would you know if this is happening? And I think this was when we did this call, once a couple of years ago, it was quite cool. I think it was this call on devasia. It's not the same as letting go. Our call from last week, one of our now alumni said, Michelle, this is so important. I just made an extra $2,000 because I just understood this, just this week, just from understanding the difference in that. So sometimes when we're doing some very inner world work, just know that there every single time is a very specific connection to what's happening in our outer world, what's happening in our business, what's happening in our day-to-day decisions, right? And what's happening in with our families and so on, right? So Mary Kay asks, what are some clues that would tell you devasia is masquerading as letting go? How would you know if this is happening? So letting go is letting go. Like when I say, hey, if you didn't remember that was an exercise that I suggested you do, let it go. That's okay. And then you let it go. That's okay. And you're gentle with yourself that you just let it go. Devasia sometimes masquerades as letting go. It's like, I remember we were talking about Tracy and her non-client last week. And Tracy's could have been... client or person in her downline actually ended up going with the husband's person, right? Do you remember that story that she was telling us? And what could have easily happened was she could go, Well, that's fine. You go ahead and go to those guys. I don't mind at all. And can you see, like, I got Divasia written all over me. I'm going like, go away. I just really don't like you. But I'm pretending to myself and I don't even know that I'm doing it. That look at me. I'm so big. I'm letting her go. And I'm giving you a funny example because it's easy when I say it that way to see it. And in that, I don't think Tracy was caught in Divasia at all. She really was letting go. She even sent that person a gift, right? You know, it's amazing. Even the action of sending a gift, it's like, fine, I can let you go. It's not a problem at all. Here, even take this. And it could still be Divasia. Could still be have that energy to it, right? So so it's one of the ways that we accidentally pretend to ourselves, you know? And so check in with your body. Check in with your results. Is there a tightness? How does it feel? Divasia doesn't feel good. It's one of the kleshas. It's one of the fetters in the Yoga Sutras. It's one of the things that binds us. When we're bound, when we're caught in one of the kleshas, in one of those things that make us suffer, we suffer. It doesn't feel good. And sometimes we even cover that over by all kinds of things. That's one of the reasons that Shavasana is so important as well. So check in with your body, check in with your results. How does it feel? And then do Shavasana every day. Because in Shavasana, thoughts will come up and then we let them go. And thoughts will come up and we'll let them go. And it's one of the byproducts of Shavasana. Don't go for this. Don't go to Shavasana to go, I'm going to find out what my thoughts are doing. Wrong intentionality for Shavasana. But it's still going to, because then I'm trying to make something of it and I'm attached. You do Shavasana to do Shavasana. I'm lying here and breathing. But in that, we're going to see, like, maybe the thoughts are coming up. I made a huge turn in my life, a huge life decision in and around 2006 when I started doing Shavasana every morning daily. And my life radically changed. And one of the reasons was I started seeing what my actual thoughts were. It's a byproduct of this practice. And I could see where I was hanging on because I had to keep letting go of that same thought. And I could feel it because I wasn't distracted by all this other stuff. And I could feel like that thought didn't feel good. So Shavasana, don't do it for that. If you understand what I'm saying, don't do it for that and why that would be a mistake, raise your hand. It's so important. If you didn't understand that. So don't do it. Yes, thank you. So that's 100%. Okay, good. So, but in that, there's a byproduct of that. I start to see what's going on. And Divasia causes us to suffer. Letting go doesn't cause us to suffer. All right? Mary-Kate, does that help?
Yes. I was just thinking the more subtle ways that it might catch you. But I think that the, yeah.
Shavasana is just my first line answer.
Just it's, yeah.
Shavasana is my first line answer to that. And
Michelle?
Yes.
I think I raised my hand because I think I'm a little confused. I love formulas. So Did you just say don't do Shavasana with to get out of being upset?
What I said was don't. Even though Shavasana makes us aware of the contents of our mind, don't go into Shavasana saying, I need to know what my mind is doing and I need to fix this part of my mind. Can you hear the hanging on there? And I need to solve this problem in my life. So Shavasana, bring it to me now, right? Because I've gone in with Shavasana with just hanging on to stuff. Just a better intentionality for Shavasana. This is my practice. This is just what I do. And I'm just going to go and breathe. And I'm not attached to what comes out of it. I'm not trying to make something happen. Shavasana is about letting go. It's not trying to make something happen. And my Shavasana practice will go deeper and faster. And I'll be able to drop into Shavasana so much more easily when I'm not trying to make it do something in my life. Ironically, when it actually does something in my life is when I'm not trying to make it do something in my life. Does that make it clearer, Dottie? Thank you for that clarification. This is so important. Yes. And actually, I want to add one more thing. One of our alumni who had meditated for about 30 years actually found that as she started to do this Shavasana training, she's like, oh my, I've been meditating pushing thoughts away for 30 years. And sometimes my body's been getting sicker. Sometimes it's like the meditation was doing the opposite of what she wanted, even after years of training with really high level teachers. But there was a subtle thing going on that was actually working the opposite way. All right. So thanks for that clarification, Dottie. It's really good. All right. So I want to go to a couple other questions. Mary Kay had three questions. One of them is, what are some things that will help get my environment at home optimal for the virtual retreat in May? So we're calling this the Mexico at home retreat affectionately, because it's like, how do we bring the energy of Mexico to our homes where we are these days? I'm super excited about, like I say, I know this is going to be our best Mexico, now Mexico at home retreat ever. We are in such a heightened state in the world. And I know, just like I knew that the retreat after my man died was going to be the best ever. This one, man, don't miss it, is going to be freaking cool. What I want to say is we're going to be talking about that next week. For now, all the things that we're learning, just keep doing those. And I'll give you some more explicit things about that next week. What I will tell you is a little bit more today. And again, more things coming next week about the shape of the retreat. I've asked you to hold from the Saturday to the Saturday on your calendar. And what we're going to be doing, there's going to be some really cool things I'm going to be having you do on the Saturday when we all would have been flying in. There's going to be some things that will help to set our energy for that week. All right. So Saturday, I'll be making some suggestions to you. We're going to be doing some stuff. We'll be doing some stuff that is really super cool. I'm not going to tell you more details than that, but to hold that Saturday open on Sunday, which is Mother's Day, we're going to be meeting from 10:30 till 12. Mountain time, translate to your own time zone that day to set the energy for our day. And then it's Mother's Day. We're all at home with our families or our loved ones, or maybe you're on your own, whatever the situation is. So we'll take the rest of that day for you to practice in and with your families the things that we're going to do that morning, and then block off full days from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Mountain time, from Monday through Friday. Don't worry, there'll be breaks, there'll be ways to manage the energy, there'll be ways that we have to have spaciousness, but don't put anything else in that week. Clear everything else off. Make sure that it's as though you were physically in Mexico so that the other things are cleared away, all right? And that is the way, as much as possible, do that. That's the way that you will get the most out of this, that you will receive its blessings, all right, of this time together. And then block off Saturday morning as well, at least till noon Mountain time. And then I'll tell you more about it, but I just want to be able to have you chunk off on your calendar for now, all right? And but I love the intentionality of Mary Kay's question, because like, what do I do in my environment? So how can I have, and some of the things we're going to do today will help us with that. How do I have spaciousness? How do I set my environment up for success? How do I allow my environment to feed me? And that's what, I mean, the whole of the Mexico at home retreat is going to help us do that, but more explicit instructions to come. So thanks for the question, Mary Kay. And for now, all the things that we've suggested to do those, and more to come next week, both on the call on Thursday and then in your inbox. You'll see it toward the end of next week. All right. Mary Kay asked a question that one last question that I'm really excited about, because it's going to be a foundation for our next piece today and a consolidation around this raga and devasia and what they mean. And a more precise, it's going to allow me to train on a more precise definition of raga and devasia, so you really understand and can use these terms in ways that empower you in your business and in your life. So Mary Kay says, because the way that Mary Kay has define these, and my teacher says, if anybody has it, you know, if there are any issues or people haven't understood, or if there's something, it's always the teacher's fault. Right? So that means there's something that hasn't been completely transmitted. The intentionality behind the question is beautiful, but something about the precise definitions of raga and devasia I want to do a tweak on, all right? And then it'll become clearer and easier to understand. So here's what Mary Kay says. When you have raga attachment, yes, and devasia aversion, yes, those are the definitions going on at the same time, is it likely they'll cancel each other out? Answer is no. And I'll explain in a minute. What happens when you realize both are there at the same time? You're going to be suffering double, I'm going to say, right? I've had both going on with my desire, raga, desire, that's a different definition. And non-desire, devasia, no, the definition slipped there. That's not the same thing. To rearrange my house to better fit my business and new outlook. Now I don't feel as bad about doing it or not doing it, even though I'm not doing anything. And so I would say, well, if you feel better, I'm glad about that and good. And maybe something canceled out for you, but they're not raga and devasia. So it gives me a chance to make the definitions more precise, because the definitions slipped as you spoke about them, and those are not the same things. Now, non-attachment, actually, that's a wonderful thing. Or not, you know, we non-attachment, great. The yogis advocate that. I don't have to have that thing. If I have to have that thing, I'm going to suffer, right? But both raga and devesha are in the don't want category for the yogis. They're both in the category of, when I do this every single time, I'm going to suffer. The yogis say, don't take my word for it. Go out and check it out. And I encourage you to do that again this week. Watch for people hanging on to stuff. Sometimes we think it's love. It's like, Dana, don't ever change because I love you just this way. That's not love. That's attachment. I need her to be how she is now, and I don't allow any growth in her. And that means I won't love her that tomorrow because she's going to be different. That's, you know, love and attachment, not the same thing. I'm hanging on. Dana, don't ever grow. Dana, don't do that thing that I don't want you to do, because I don't, you know, so I'm pushing and I'm pulling, and I'm pushing and pulling. It gets in the way of seeing, gets in the way of connecting actually with people, gets in the way of service, right? So, raga, attachment, hanging on, devesha, aversion. What might have happened if we wanted to use those, that language with Mary Kay? So, you know, maybe it's just, you know, something like, well, if we want to put it in the terms of raga and devesha about my house, and whether it's a house, a client, or anything, it's the same mechanism going on. I have to get my house clean, and I have to get it clean right now. Otherwise, my mind will never be quiet, and I'm going to meet with this person on a strategy session, and it's all going to fall apart. There's raga and devesha happening at the same time. Will somebody show me that so that I know we know on this campus how to use those words? It's really, those words are really powerful when we know how to, what they are and how to use them. So where's the raga there? Where's the devesha? They're both happening at the same time. I need to clean my house. I need to clean it right away, because otherwise my mind's going to be all messed up and I'm going to screw up that strategy sessions, and then my company's going to go down the tubes. I mean, for example, somebody tell me where raga is and where devesha is. Sometimes they're happening both at once. They're related to each other. It's like they're flip sides of the same coin almost. Who will outline that for me? Can you see it? Hanging on, pushing away? What am I hanging on to? What am I pushing away? Somebody tell me so I know you've seen it. Mary Kay, I see you nodding, so you tell me.
Well, let's see. I gotta rethink it. Attachment is that I think I need to fix things. I need to fix things.
Yes, I have to do this or else. That kind of, you could almost substitute that language. This has to happen. Like the monkey, you know, with the fist in the jar and then can't move anywhere. Or those two Zacks. It's like, I have to go this way, right? Have to. So yes, there's raga. One example of raga. Where's devesha in this? I'm always watching the push and pull of this, always. Like I always am seeing it in people, and it's really important. It gives you, I don't mean power over other people, but it gives you the possibility for compassion. It gives you the possibility of not getting hooked into their thing. It gives you tremendous power when you're on stage, when you're everywhere in our company. So go ahead, where's the devesha, Mary Kay?
Okay, I'm gonna say what it is for me when I wrote the question. For me, it's the resistance to doing it, to straightening up, to fixing. It's the resistance to fixing.
Yeah, and resistance.
It's like push it away. I don't want to do that.
I don't want to do that. That's where he's like, I don't want to do that. I hate doing that housework. It sucks. I really would rather be watching TV. I can't do that. No, somebody else has to do it. Can you see me doing this? So at the very same time, like one on top of the other, I'm pulling something toward me, I'm pushing away. And so thank you, Mary Kay. Beautiful example of raga, attachment, R-A-G-E, raga, devesha, D-V-E-S-A, sometimes spelled otherwise, but raga, devesha, pushing and pulling. And also there's a whole ripple effect of other pushing and pullings probably going on. So I'm attached to my house looking a particular way. I'm attached to being the person who, like, maybe somebody's going to come into my house. It happens rarely these days, but like I've got the plumber coming in tomorrow. For them to see me as somebody whose house is organized, right? I'm attached to an image of myself as somebody who has things together and organized. I'm attached to the idea that if my house is misaligned, my brain is going to be misaligned too. I'm pushing away the idea of I'm pushing away the the work itself of cleaning the house. I'm pushing away the idea that this strategy session could fail, because that it better not fail or else don't fail. I'm pushing away the idea of myself as failing in my business, because if I do, everything will fall apart. You know, it's like an all or nothing kind of push pull. So and we could name out probably 100 other instances of raga hanging on and devasia happening just in that moment. It's like brrr. And probably when you're in a strategy session, you're watching that push and pull going on right inside the person. And when we have more and more facility with this, when we start to see it more and more, the person says, well, maybe it's in, Steve was talking about his new client. So maybe the client comes in and says, man, if I don't get a hold of my time, like my company's going to go down the tubes. And so I got to get a hold of my time. Raga, attachment. Devasia, I'll lose my company. Like, there's a whole lot going on. And they might not know that's happening inside them, right? But it is. In Carly's work, if we don't come in, like working with a contractor, if we don't come in under budget, you know, and if it doesn't cost X amount, then it's going to fall through. We'll never get it's never going to work. It's like, attachment. You know, raga, devasia, it's happening to people around us. And then that could spring up in Carly right after that. It's like the contractor says, it can't be above this much. Otherwise, it's never going to go through. And then she might come up with more raga. It's like, yes, it will. And I promise it will. And it has to go through because, right? So they're like, and they just like, and nobody gets anywhere. And there's nobody actually communicating. Nobody actually getting anywhere. Just push, pull, push, pull. Like the Zacks stuck there. I have to go this way. They're attached. Raga, hanging on to their way of doing it. And devasia is happening there too. I didn't talk about that a couple of weeks ago, but devasia, it's like, I'm not going to go that way. If I go that way, the whole world's going to fall apart. No way you could ever make me go that way. Can you see they're pushing away that idea and probably many others when we look closely. So Mary Kay, thank you for that clarifying question. I don't know if we had answered the question or not, but it's a better understanding of how raga and devasia work. And I want to actually point to in the Yoga Sutras, chapter 2, so Pada 2, that's the one where, okay, if we're not enlightened yet, if we don't, you know, if we're not like floating on clouds or whatever, for whatever that means to you, chapter 2 is like, for the rest of us mere mortals who are just doing the best we can, what are we supposed to do? Please tell us, yogis. And in chapter 2, the yogis say, okay, for the rest of us mere mortals, what are we supposed to do? And the very first part of it, I talked about another day, I won't go there, what the definition of yoga is. And then they say, well, what gets in the way is the kleshas, these things that cause us suffering. And let's define them. So the beginning of the chapter talks about that. And I think about the beginning of chapter 2 a lot. And in that is raga devasia, pushing and pulling. And I do just want to end this part about this pushing and pulling, because it's happening all the time, all over the place. If I don't do a podcast, everybody's doing a podcast these days. I got to do a podcast. Otherwise, I'll never grow my company. Raga. It's not going to work. It's going to fail somehow, some way, a month down the road, because I think that I need to. And that hanging on is like that monkey. Something is going to go wrong. Something's going to stick. Instead, maybe I want to do a podcast, not because everybody's doing it, but I think it's a good idea for my company. Freedom in that thought. And sometimes we can't tell the difference because we're so caught in this push and pull. So here is how in Light on the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, if you got this, a lot of it might be impenetrable and go like, what? What's this have to do with my business? So don't worry about whether you have a copy of something like this or not, but let me be and this community be the translator for the things that actually help the most out of this and that move the needle for us, all right? And if you go, well, what does this have to do with story, Michelle? Story is about the pull of desire. Desire is central to story. And when we understand raga and devasia, how pushing and pulling works, we'll be so in a great place when we come to Story Foundations in July, for example, and we have it laced through in different places in our journey as well, about how that pull of desire works in story. Because we have to understand desire more than the marketers do, more than the salespeople do, but at a deep level like the novelists do, right? And the name of the book and the author, this one's called Light on the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali by BKS Iyengar. He's the one I spoke about. I'm an Iyengar yoga teacher. And BKS Iyengar, he's the one, he died at 95. And if you want to get it, it will feel kind of, esoteric. It'll feel kind of weird. It'll feel kind of like, what was he talking about for some of it? But let me just pull, if you want to go to the source, that's what it is. It's not the first place that I would point you to. I just wanted to cite my sources. And I wanted to tell you his definition in Sutra 2.7 and 2.8. It'll only take a minute or two. But so we really understand what Raga and Devesha is before we go on to another little training for today to add onto, well, how do we get out of this? How do we get out of this? And that's what we're going to do in just a few minutes today, and you'll get it right away. But I wanted to make sure we had the foundation from those previous calls. So in Sutra 2.7, I don't know how to pronounce this as well. Some of them I know how to pronounce better than others. Sukha Anusaya Raga, I think, something like that. Pleasure leads to desire and emotional attachment. Sometimes, even when things are good, it can lead to suffering, strangely enough. So Steve gave the example of, you know, his huge wins that he's happening. If he goes, okay, now I need another win just like that tomorrow, all of a sudden he's suffering, right? Even the pleasure, even the good things can lead to suffering if we become like that monkey, right? So Steve won't do that because he knows, right? Well, we do it, whether it's in that moment, we all do it. Yogis say we all do it. Let's notice faster, right? And then let it go. So here's how Iyengar puts it. He says, dwelling on pleasure leads to desire and emotional attachment. Dwelling on pleasurable experiences ignites desire and a sense of attraction, which creates attachment. Pleasurable experiences generate greed and lust, which strengthen attachment and stimulate a greater craving, as one always wants more and more. One becomes absorbed by the pursuit of pleasure and addicted to gratification of the senses. The aspirant, the yogi, the one who's, you know, wanting to live an aligned life, may thus forget his chosen path and allow himself to be caught up in sorrow and sickness. It's kind of weird. It's like, things that are pleasurable lead me to sorrow and sickness? What's he talking about? I have something good that happens, and then I go, oh my God, I might lose it. Have you ever heard of that, of millionaires or billionaires? Ever heard of that, of movie stars? Ever heard of that, of, you know, it's kind of writ large there for us. Ever heard of that? To me, yoga on university campuses, I'm big and I'm important and I'm a professor. People better see me like that, and they better see me like that tomorrow, and I'm only as good as my next paper, and oh my God, attachment, suffering, right? I just had these sales. It's got to keep going. I just did my best talk ever. I just had my best shavasana ever. It better keep going. Suffering when I'm hanging on to it. And then the next one is about the opposite, pushing away. And it's aversion. He equates that to hatred. He says, Steve, thanks for adding that link. So dukkha anusaya, devesha, sorry for the pronunciation. Unhappiness leads to hatred. I wanted to add this because he's got this piece about unhappiness in there. Unhappiness leads to hatred. Unhappiness leads to hatred. We've been using different language around this, but aversion, pushing away. Pains, and so Carly, you're in the center of my screen, so I think you've shared some of this too. Like, so unhappiness, I'm unhappy with somebody in my life. Then I start pushing them away. Then my whole business gets caught up there, and then I'm stuck, for instance, right? You've given us some pieces of that, right? Unhappiness leads to hatred, to pushing away. He says, and that's why this is the foundation for the next piece I'm going to teach you today. We'll do a little bit more on it next week too. So the material for today will be carried on to next week. I'll tell you what it is in just a minute. Unhappiness leads to hatred. So this is the devesha part, pushing away. Pain, sorrow, and misery trigger a chain of hate or aversion. Pain, sorrow, and misery trigger a chain of hate or aversion. No wonder we're seeing so much of it in a COVID-19 world. People are hurting, people are grieving, and so we see devesha running rampant. Recollecting lost pleasures, I used to be able to travel to the store. It's happening everywhere. I used to be able to sell things in my company. I used to be, whatever it is, right? Recollecting lost pleasures, tormented by desires unfulfilled, man is led to sorrow. In extreme distress, he comes to hate himself, his family, neighbors, and surroundings, and feels a sense of worthlessness. You might go, oh, come on, that's a bit extreme. But the yogis say this is happening to us on a moment-by-moment basis. This happens to us all the time. Oh, Dottie, would you please mute? We're getting a little noise from your line. A discriminating person, dukkha. Oh, my goodness, there's noise on the line. Stop doing that. Everything's going bad. There could be, some of you might have been caught in devesha right in that moment. Oh, there's a scratching noise, right? It happens to us moment to moment to moment, right? A discriminating person strives to acquire knowledge so that he may strike a balance between sukha and dukkha, between pleasure and pain, and live at the mercy of neither pleasure nor pain. Can I notice what's happening in the pool of pleasure and pain? Can I notice when I'm pulling things toward me, pushing things away, so that I can get uncaught? Most entrepreneurs are caught like this every single day, and some of them through the whole day. Do you know some people like this that are only really mostly ever doing that? Have you ever been that person doing it for much of an hour or a minute or a day? I have. So letting that go. And so when we're unhappy, when we're seeing things that we don't want, when circumstances aren't the way we want, we start to push away. It leads to hatred. It leads to unworthiness. Man, I'm stuck at home and I don't like how my business is going. I don't like how it's going with my family or my kids. And I push it away. And maybe if I could just do better, all this blah, blah, blah stories arise, right? If I could just do better, it would work out. I guess I'm not trying hard enough. I got to try harder. And all that leads nowhere. Can you see it? Push a pull, push, pull, push, pull. Caught in unhappiness, unworthiness, self-hatred, all those things. Hatred of other people, pushing, pulling, pushing, pulling. So how do we get out of this? Well, the yogis have lots of advice about it, but for our purposes in this Letting Go series, the title for today, which we're getting to just toward the end of the call, actually I don't even have a title, I just have three words for you. Three words for you at the heart of today's call, but we needed all that to really lead to it. And to understand why, one of the reasons that it's so important. Three words. Maybe it's two because one has a dash. Anyway, extreme self-care. Extreme self-care. Now, this unit, in a way, could go in the loving kindness series because it's a part of like actually sending loving kindness to ourselves, actually taking care of ourselves. But for years and over again, I put it in the letting go series. Extreme self-care, because there is a deep letting go needed in order not to just to take care of ourselves, because most people go, yeah, Michelle, I take care of myself. You know, I get 8 hours sleep a day or not. I eat good food or not or whatever. I'm like, don't worry. I took my 5 minutes in Shavasana. I take good care of myself. Or, oh yeah, I'm taking care of myself. Whatever it is, fill in the blank, whatever. It's like self-care light. Get what I'm saying? Like our definition of self-care is so self-care light that it doesn't even count. One of my teachers, I've mentioned her before, Andrea J. Lee, very wise woman. She says like our service is up here like this and is growing. And in this time of a COVID-19 world, more and more people could use our services. I don't like to say need because then it's like puts them in a sense of raga attachment, right? But could benefit by our services. So more and more service, more and more potential out there to serve. And this is like the branches of a tree. The bigger those branches are, the more we need those roots of self-care. Now, we do a related unit in the abundance series on the pause. You remember that? Actually stopping. But the pause and extreme self-care are not the same thing. They're related teachings, but they're not the same. I put them separate. I've got a pause. Well, what am I going to put in that, right? Well, I'm going to pause and do Shavasana, but what else? These are not the same. They're related, but not the same teaching. Extreme self-care. When I have these branches out here like this with service, I need just as deep roots. And those roots are the pause, yes, but the roots are the self-care. When I don't have that, the tree is going to topple over. That service is going to end. I'm serving and serving and serving and serving and serving. And I don't know, let me see. Lindsay, I'm going to call you out on this one. Ring a bell. I could be pointing to any of you, but just a recent discussion, you know? So if you don't mind, Lindsay, right? Let me serve. Roots, extreme self-care. How selfish of me if I'm just going to serve because I burn out. And it's not fair to all those people who could really use my services. How selfish of me to only serve. Where's the self-care? Extreme self-care, right? So, and I think I mentioned this in the pause part, but I want to mention it here too. And I used to teach at Wellspring. So I taught a course called The Healing Word for people on the cancer journey and those supporting them. So many of them said, you remember me saying this? They would whisper to me, really. They'd say, Michelle, you know, when I got the diagnosis, I was relieved. I could finally stop. It was scary to me hearing this, you know, pushing, serve, right? Like, how about stopping before that happens? illness or falling, or it happens in academia. So many people I know, because it push and push and push and push, then the strange things that happen, diseases and motorcycle accidents and, you know, sudden heart attacks and so on. I mean, it's push, 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 push. So what if we don't have to wait until then? Already there's a world doing stuff out there. What better time to start than now to actually dive in? And sometimes we have excuses about it. I'm too busy. I don't have time. Oh, that's self-indulgent. I can't do that. No, it's not. It's selfish to burn myself out. Oh, I already do that. I already do that because I do this little tiny piece. No, extreme self-care. And extreme self-care is in the Letting Go series because there's trust that's required to engage in, indulge in, whatever you want to call it, extreme self-care to create this, the service, and this, the roots. Why do I say that to engage in that, not just a surface level self-care, but I mean extreme self-care. Like, you know, Richard Branson, I understand, somebody told me once he spends 80% of his time thinking and resting. 80%. Sandra Yancey told me some time ago, there was about a year ago, she says, like, entrepreneurs that are, you know, the super achiever, she hangs out with, you know, billionaires, right? And she says they spend like about 30% of their time just learning and growing. It's not the same as self-care, but they're like off grid, at least, you know, they're not doing in their companies, right? So Keith Cunningham, the rich dad of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, he says, yeah, like, entrepreneurs don't even spend time. They don't stop and think. And that's a problem for most entrepreneurs, right? So so we don't pause. We don't rest. We don't stop. But the super successful do, because we need time to think. We need time to recharge our batteries. We need time to pause. Those are not all the same things. Today, we're talking about the portion of that that's extreme self-care. Why? I'll return to my question. Why would it require trust? Trust in what? And let go of what? In order to really engage in uber super self-care. Why does it require trust? Dottie, go ahead. And you're muted.
I have a great example that really helped me. I heard a Christian teaching on the commandment, rest on the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. And that when we don't, it's saying, I don't trust you, God.
Oh, how lovely. So from the Christian tradition, right?
Yes. It's like,
thank you for that.
I don't trust you because I've got so much I have to do.
So not leaning in on whatever that is for you. And again, whatever your spiritual beliefs, whether that's God for you, your highest self, the universe, whatever that, you know, highest is for you. Well, you know, it's not going to happen. If I don't push it, I got to push this needle. I got to work hard. I got to make sure because I'm the only one doing here. No trust that there's something bigger going on. Reference the opening series. No trust that we're not doing this alone. No trust that there's something higher working on our behalf. And so I get tired because I figure I got to do it all alone. And I get it. Sometimes we put the work in. It's not about that. Like there's an ebb and flow in our lives. But sometimes we're just running on empty all the time as a lifestyle. And one of my, actually, you know who it was? It was my then father-in-law. He was a physician. And he said, so many people, they run their life as though they're on the emergency ward all the time. But then when there's a real emergency, then what? And here we are in a pandemic, right? So when would now be a good time to trust that all is well, to know my own worthiness, that, hey, I'm more than up to the task. Hey, I know that I have resources that are greater than me. I'm tapping in with Shavasana every day. So I'm getting something of insight. I'm getting something of wisdom, but I'm not hanging on to it. I just know it's going to come my way. I know ideas are coming my way. I know resources are coming my way. I know clients are headed my way. Can you see the trust, the knowingness? And so I have plenty of time to take not just good care of myself, but extreme self-care. I trust that the people in my life will wait for me as I'm taking this time. Yeah, for me in yoga, or I'm taking this time in quiet meditation. I trust that the answers will come to me. I trust that all is well here. And if not, there's probably a piece of worthiness that's happening in there. So it exercises our trust muscles and it requires a deep letting go. All is well if I take this hour or this day or this week or this month or this minute, whatever, you know, level it is for you. We want to do all of those at times to take deep care of myself. So, and why do I do it? Again, service, self-care, I'm going to burn out. It's selfish not to. And for me, I'll tell you honestly, I won't always do it for myself. It's kind of funny because it's like self-care, but I won't do it for myself because I'm trained as an academic. I'm trained to like go 24/7 until I drop. That's my training, many years of training to do that. And when I first told my family, Dottie, if you could mute again, please. When I first told my family several years ago that I taught one unit in the year on extreme self-care, my family laughed out loud in my face. When I teach this stuff, I'm learning right along here with you, all right? Much better at it than I was then, and I'm still learning. They knew that it didn't come to me naturally. It was a learned, acquired skill, right? And so why do I do it? I won't always do it for myself, but I'll do it for my daughter. If you won't do it for yourself, it's like, oh, I can't indulge in that because, well, these people need me. I mean, we have always shown that's a fallacy because you can burn out then, and then what will they do? It's very selfish not to do this. I won't always do it even still, though, but I'll do it for my daughter. I'll do it for my daughter. Because if she watches me burn myself out, she's not going to hear the words that I say. She's going to do the same thing. And I would protect her with my life. In order to protect her with my life, I need to value my life. Do you get it? Who's that person that you would do it for? I would do it for you guys. I teach this once a year and it's my check-in. Am I doing this? I can't teach this in authenticity unless I'm doing it. I would do it for you guys, right? So jot down, if you won't do it for yourself, and often we don't in the West, and great, if you're better at that than I am, good on you, right? But on the days maybe when we forget, and in a post-COVID-19 world, we can tend to go back to earlier patterns. Do you get what I'm doing? Or get what I'm saying? Like, we go back to earlier patterns that don't serve us, but used to serve us, because we're all kind of on adrenaline mode. And so we accidentally start doing things that served in a different time, but don't serve now, maybe working too hard or whatever it is, right? So especially now, if there's times when we won't do it for ourselves, who are you going to do it for? Somebody that models on you, maybe. Somebody that cares about you. Write it down. Who's that name of the person that you'll do it for? So when you forget. So when we forget, we'll keep on doing it. Write that person's name down. You got it? Did you do it? Everyone got that name? My daughter is my first go-to place. You guys are right there too. Well, my daughter is first. When I think of her burning herself out, and she works really hard, she's like an earlier version of me on steroids. You know, she went to bed at 5 o'clock this morning. Okay. It's so important for me to model self-care for her. She's like me on steroids when I was her age. So, all right. So who do you do it for? And then how do we do this? Okay, first, if we don't think it's, have I given you enough to understand in your cells why it's not just self-care, but extreme self-care? Do y'all get that? I want to take just 1 minute for you to write down your why. I gave you lots of them. What's my daughter gonna do? I would die to protect her. I need those branches. It might be that, right? It's selfish of me not to. I'm modeling uber successful people. What's your why? Write it down, because you won't do it if there's not a really profound why. And if it doesn't have enough oomph for you, it's a good exercise to do after this anyway. Why is it that I want extreme self-care in my life? So write it down right now. Take 30 seconds over that. Why? Post-COVID-19 world. That'd be enough for it, right? Any one of those could do, but which one's yours, that person? It gives me resilience. I want to model it. I want to have a sustainable company. What is it for you? There's many people that could use my work. I have a big mission. all of those require extreme self-care. Okay, if you've got that why, raise your hand. Okay, if you think that why could be bigger, raise your hand. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that honesty. So if you're going to spend at least 5 minutes, oh my goodness, this is about building a sustainable company, building a sustainable life, modeling for the people that we love, making sure that we serve in the long run, like all those things. How many, who will spend at least 5 minutes after this call deepening that why? It could be the best, most important 5 minutes of this year. Who's going to do that? Raise your hand. No shame if you won't. Actually, me. No, like deepening that why. Thank you. And I appreciate your honesty. If it's a no, that's okay too, right? Just honest, right? Satya, truthfulness. Okay, good. So how do we do this then? I suggest you deepen that why. That's the first thing. Otherwise, we won't do it. Know your why for doing this. Whichever of those that I mentioned or your own why. You can get on a call with somebody. It's like, I'm not doing it, right? I know it's an important idea, but I'm not doing it. Then I'd get on a call with somebody. It's like, how am I actually going to make this happen, right? That's the first thing, the why. The next thing, Shavasana. Shavasana is a form of extreme self-care. Do you get that? That makes sense? How am I starting my day? I'm pedal to the metal. I'm heading out the door. I'm doing, no, I'm not out the door now, but I'm like getting to work and I'm taking care of everybody. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm starting the day with myself. It already, it's another one of the huge benefits of Shavasana. So number one, create the why. Number two, do Shavasana. Those are at the foundation. And then just some tactical things that you can do that you know you're going to get this into your week. And I strongly encourage you both to monitor what you're doing. You know, take a day and notice how much you've got of extreme self-care in it. How much of the day was for you? What does extreme self-care even look like for you? Was it 5 minutes? You can take like one day and take 1 hour, take one day, take 1 week. You can choose your own exercise or you could do all three of those. Here's a typical day. Where was the self-care in it? Oh, it was only in my 5 minutes of Shavasana at the beginning of the day. Note that, just notice. Then are you building a company that's like this and like this? Or are you building a company that will fall over, right? I ask myself this often. So, you know, where is that self-care in my life, right? So then some tactical things along with, you know, Shavasana and the why. Number one, know that you're worthy of it. It requires a deep sense of worthiness to take care of ourselves. If I don't feel worthy of it, I'm not going to do it. No, you're worthy. It's your birthright. It builds trust as well. Like I say, it both requires trust and it builds trust in the doing of it, right? So that's number one. Know that you're worthy and allow that trust to be built and then allow that worthiness to be built by the doing of it. I'm worthy. Number two, place that space, that pause, where you're going to put it, on your calendar. I just recently did this there's a new self-care piece every Friday night for me. I just put it on my calendar last Friday. Every morning begins with yoga. Self-care piece is structured into my day. Because of COVID-19, every evening before I go to bed now is meditation. I've added an extra self-care piece. Last night it was half an hour at the end of the day, meditation, right? So, and then those are just a few of the pieces that I've put in. Where is it on your calendar? Weekly, hourly, daily, monthly? So number one, know you're worthy. Number two, place it on your calendar. Number three, know that the worthiness comes from doing it. Know that the worthiness comes from doing it. So look for the actions. What is it that you're actually doing, right? Number four, and this one I encourage you all to do right after this call, create a list of what is self-care for you. What does it even mean for you? What activities are self-care for you? For some people, they don't even know. I don't know, and lots of you are nodding. I don't even know. It's been so long since I've done that. I don't even know what that is. That should be a marker for you of something that's out of balance in your business. And I'm not preaching from on high. Remember, my family laughed at me. I'm learning this too, I promise, right? Getting better at it, but it's in a work in progress. So list of self-care. Some of mine, I put them down. They're on the page here for me. Yoga, the gym, but I can't go to the... What's self-care for you now? I can't go out to the gym, but I've got gym equipment now at home. It's a little tiny box. I spent 2 hours with it on Sunday, that little tiny box. so that I can activate my home gym, you know? Yoga, gym, walks, meditation, taking a warm bath, sauna. I can't do a sauna right now. There's no sauna in my place. I used to go to the gym to do that. What else would do that for me? I like, you know, having a hot bath, right? Reading, journaling, watching a comedy, walking out in nature, being in bare feet, right? Like, those are some of them off the top of my head. What is it for you? So write out that list. That's number four. And then number five, having calendared it and knowing that the doing of it is when it happens. Number five is actually do it. Put it on as non-negotiable. Just writing it down on our calendar doesn't make it happen. Can you hear the difference? First, you got to put it on your calendar. Then you got to know that the doing of it is the thing. And then you got to actually freaking do it, right? That's number four. Number five. And number six is accountability. Who is the person that you're going to, that you want to put in place for you, who's going to say, hey, are you actually doing this? And this could be anybody in your life, but I strongly encourage you to do this. And I first did this when Dana was about four, right? So she's going to be 21 next month. So I started really understanding this and putting into practice that many years ago. And when she was four, I trained her. She was my accountability partner because mommy wasn't such a good mommy when mommy was not taking care of herself, right? And so if I snapped at her more, if I just wasn't as patient, I trained my four-year-old daughter. And I would say, oh yeah, mommy's just not doing very well right now. I guess she hasn't been to the gym lately. I guess she hasn't done as much yoga as she usually does. That's when mommy's like that. It's not very good, is it? I'm doing my best, but it's not as good as sometimes, is it? I guess mommy needs a trip to the gym. I guess mommy needs to go do yoga. And so when she would hear me be off, she'd go, mommy, do you want to go to the gym now? And it came in this little four-year-old voice. And it would just make me laugh, and it would just make me realize before I knew what was going on, who is your accountability partner? And you can have more than one of them. It could be somebody in this community. It could be a family member. It could be a child or a grandmother or granddaughter or who, I don't know, your brother, your sister, a best friend. Who is your accountability partner that will have you remember when you forget, right? So extreme self-care. And one thing that you can think of too is, you know, we take care of our babies. We take care of our children. What would it be like to treat yourself as you would that babe in arms or that toddler? We wouldn't leave them hungry, but we leave ourselves hungry. We wouldn't leave them if they're crying or unhappy. We would pick them up and hold them. Are you doing that for yourself? Who do you have in your life who will remind you to do that? All right, so letting go. Actually not having this as a nice idea, but actually implementing it in our lives on a hourly, daily, weekly, monthly basis, and to have the courage to do it more than we think we can, because it'll push our buttons up. But I can't because there's all this to do because, great, let it go. Do it anyway. Because I know I'm building this. And if I'm building this, I'm going to build in the self-care first so that I have the strength to do this. And I know that this is where I'm heading and this is a good way to do it. I know this is where I'm headed. So I'm going to build even more of this to be ready for this deeper service that I know is on the way because I'm in a path of growth and I'm in a path of an expanding company and an expanding life. So I'm going to increase those roots right here, right now. That takes trust as well, right? Like Dottie was pointing us to. I'm increasing it exponentially right now because of what I know is already on its way in my company and in my life. What a beautiful act of trust. What a beautiful act of letting go. No raga and devasia there. I can't be hanging on to stuff. I can't be pushing stuff away. It's just like, I'm just going to do this. All right. One aha, one inspired action to round out this call today. I hope and trust you heard my words. I hope and trust you did. Check in and see what that extreme self-care looked like for you this week. Barb, you're up in my top left-hand corner. You're up first. One aha. One inspired check-offable action so we know we're doing something that takes us out into our world.
Well, the whole concept of of extreme self-care is sort of mind-blowing. And so my action will be that I will make a list of what extreme self-care is for me.
I heard you hearing it, and very practical and implementable. Here's my list. And I love that, mind blowing. It is so, it's uncommon practice out there for creating uncommonly strong and resilient and successful businesses that serve at the deepest level. So thank you for hearing that mind blowingness of it. Thank you. It means you heard. Carly, you're up.
Well, I kind of realized that I'm was trying to do this last year. And I'm so excited that I've signed up for a second year with you, because it's a reminder that I did have this on a calendar for a little while last year, and then it fell off at some point. And so an aha was just realizing, gosh, I was feeling a lot more balanced in that time period that I was doing it. And so this is something that I'm definitely going to be reintegrating back into my schedule.
I love that. And Carly, second year is such a great time for integration, right? Because it's like, oh, high ticket. Okay, we did that. Now we're done with that. It's like, no. We want to sustain that, right? Through the year. It's like, oh, right. I forgot about that. And then here's another piece. We just can't do it all at once. Oh, yes. There's this extreme self-care. Oh, I did it for a while. Oh, and then I let it fall off. Oh, and when I put those two together, just to mention two of the things we do in the year, so powerful, integrating them. Yes, fantastic. So what's your inspired action?
I'm going to be just getting this back into my schedule, my routine.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. Beautiful. Dottie, you're up.
This was my favorite class. I loved it and I'm intrigued by it.
I'm so glad. Dottie, fantastic.
And I want to know more about it. And my action is to buy the first, I'm not a big book reader. So you said that the book you gave me wasn't the first one. What's the first book that you would recommend?
For self-care, you know what I would probably buy first is the one.
Not for self-care, for Devesha and...
Oh, for Raga Devesha. Let me see. I've got to go. Let me see. I want to make sure that people can go away right away. I've got it on my shelf and I can't think of her name right now. Let me... I'll post that for you on the Facebook page right after this call, okay? And Dottie, if you don't see it there within a couple of hours, will you text me and remind me so that I'll get that post for you? That's a great question, all right? Because there's one that's more accessible than the one that I held up. And if you want to know about it, and again, some pieces of it you might not like, you might like, I give you the most important pieces, but if you really want to read more, I will give you something that will help you to implement that, okay?
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So I'm so glad that this call was so helpful to you. What's your action to go get that book?
To go get that book.
Got it. Okay. Thank you so much. Love it. Mary Kay, you're up next.
My aha is confirmation and support of the extreme self-care, because I have implemented, not imp- I planned, I set aside tomorrow to do that. I told my family I was going to do it, and it's there. I'm really looking forward to it, and during that, I'll have to explore, you know, the part that's about what is self-care. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So is that both your aha and your action? Because that sounds like both an aha and an action. Fantastic, Mary Kay. Beautiful confirmation and knowing why you're doing it too, for all those levels, then allows us to actually do it and release into it too. Not have some part of me going, oh, but, just like absolutely every cell there. So love it. Enjoy that day. Thank you so much. I know that you heard this. That is so... It makes me so happy. We do this call only once a year, but for its importance, we should be doing it. You know, we would have this call every week, right? But here it is. Lean in with each other. Write down that, like, to maintain this. Write it down. And then, like Carly says, like, oh, I did it for a while. Then forget. Like, what is it that will at least start this practice? And then you could put in a reminder 2 months from now on your calendar. That'd be a great thing to do. It's like, oh, yeah, am I still doing this? You could put in reminders every 2 months. I mean, many, many great ideas to have this be a sustainable practice. And the very first thing that we want to do is start it off. That's the very most important thing. So have a fantastic day, everybody. Can't wait to see you next week. Love you all. Fantastic, fantastic diving in. I know you heard. Thank you so much. You made my day. See you soon. Bye-bye for now.